News moves pretty fast, and if you don't stop and look around, you might miss it. That's why the Daily Note slows down the news. No jerseys, no masters. Just better questions about America. This is the Daily Note with James A. Brown.
Oh, yes, indeed. This is the Daily Note, and I'm your host, James A. Brown. Thanks for joining me. You could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me, and I thank you for that sincerely. You can check out my work at jamesabrown.net. That's jamesabrown.net. We've got a great show for you today, and it's all about a conversation that you and I have been having for the last few days. Not long ago, I sat in this chair and told you something that's been keeping me up at night, it's stressful to think about. I told you that America is running out of young people. And I want you to think about that statement for a little bit, because I know how it sounds. It may be hyperbolic, and that's not what I do here. I'm not saying it to get attention. It sounds dramatic. It sounds like I might be exaggerating to make a point. But I'm not. The babies who will turn 18 in 2030 needed to be born in 2012. They weren't. There's not enough of them. The babies who will turn 18 in 2035 needed to be born a few years ago in 2017. They weren't born either. We can't go back and have those babies now. That's the thing about demographics that people often overlook. The future is already written. It's sitting there in hospital records, in birth certificates. It's just waiting to hit the rest of the world. In fact, 2025 was a big year for this. We hit peak 18. Nearly 3.9 million kids graduated from high school. That's the most we've ever had, and the most we'll have for quite some time. Maybe ever. From here, the numbers go down year after year for at least the next 18 years. Probably longer. That's not a guess. That's just counting the children who go through our hospitals day by day. And I made 5 predictions about what that's going to mean for us, because I think that's one of the most undertold tales of our time. My first prediction was that college would become an elite activity. Not because we want it that way, although, you know, there's probably a few that do. Not because, you know, some committee decided to do it. But because there won't be enough 18-year-olds to fill those classrooms. And there will be a domino effect that follows. The big schools, the famous ones, you know, the Harvards of the world, the ones with the billion-dollar endowments and probably $100 million endowments are going to be okay. They'll always have more applicants than they'll accept. In fact, I think they'll probably thrive in this environment. People will always want to go to Yale and Stanford, you know, Cal, Berkeley. For regional schools that serve local communities, community colleges that give working families a shot, people like me, I went to a small school, Niagara University. I think those schools are going to suffer. I know many schools like them already have. My second prediction was that crime is going to fall. And before we give anyone credit for it, because I bet every politician on the planet will try to take credit for it, it's not going to be because of that. Crime is a young person's game. Not exclusively. No. there are people who are older who commit crimes. But for the most part, it's kids, especially young men. Crime peaks in the late 20s, in the late teens and early 20s. Then it drops pretty much forever. I mean, think about it. You have jobs, you have kids, you have girlfriends, you have responsibility. Time gets busy. Anyone who's gone through that period knows that your life changes dramatically, whether you're in school or not, in your mid-20s and going into your 30s and 40s, like me. My third prediction was that budget shortfalls are going to be aplenty. The way we've structured our society, the young pay for the old. And when we have fewer young people, there's going to be fewer people to pay to keep the axles greased. The structure was built to assume that there will always be more. And we're headed into a world where there's going to be less. Yeah. Downer, eh? My fourth prediction was a bit lighter. The music that's popular now and been popular over the last, let's say, 20 years will be popular. They'll have a longer lifespan than previous generations of music, simply because there's going to be fewer kids pushing up those new acts, those new styles up the charts. And then add on top of it, what's happened with innovation. The fact that we all have the access to the world of the history of recorded music at our fingertips, we're not going to see as many new acts pop. So we're going to end up with a whole lot of the same. And my fifth prediction is that the government is eventually going to try to pay people to have kids. Tax credits, cash payments, baby bonds. They'll try something. Because that's always the first response when numbers get bad enough. We've seen it in other parts of the world, and we'll go into that later. We'll throw money at the problem and hope people respond. Now, those were my predictions. And I heard from a lot of you. I read comments. I got emails. And I wanted to share some of what you said, a handful of the responses, the ones that really made me think, you know, am I right? Am I wrong here? And walk you through my thoughts, my responses to you. This one was on Newsbreak. His handle is SemperFi, MT75. He said, don't worry, folks. I'm breeding fast enough to cover a couple of stragglers. I appreciate that. We could use more of it. Then they got serious. You know, I think it's a he. I will point out that counting high school graduates is a poor metric when we have ample documentation that the American education student system is an abysmal failure. And I agree that the education system has lots of problems, but I don't think it's a poor metric for counting 18-year-olds, because we're not just looking at the people who are graduating at different schools and counting them. I'm counting 18-year-olds purely. If you look at birth certificate, birth records, they're simply not going to be as many 18-year-olds next year as there are now, and so on and so forth. And there are some really interesting points about what he said. When you think about it, we are seeing men disappear, not just from the workforce, but from schools. We're seeing tons of dropouts all over the place. And I think if we took a more macro view, as Semper Fi is asking us to, I think we may actually be strangely more scared about the results. There is a possibility that we're wrong here. I don't think we are. You know, and I think if you look in a macro sense, as Semper Fi continued, that yes, we're having less children. That's a global phenomenon. Even Africa's birth rates are plummeting. Meanwhile, Korea has less than 100 years left before the complete societal and cultural collapse happens. We still have time comparatively. And I think that's a fair point. But we do have time. And I think that what I would like to get across, and what I hope I got across before, is what we do with that time is what's important. How do we adapt our systems to adjust to a world where there's simply going to be fewer of us supporting more of us, where the pyramid of age, of lifespans, is turned upside down? It's not something that you hear talked about very often. What do you do when there are fewer of us to come? When there aren't as many people as we need to pay Social Security, to pay taxes. We're seeing this with churches these days where they're contracting, you know, Catholic churches in particular, but lots of churches. We're seeing this with some colleges, as I mentioned. What do we do next? We'll dive into that a little bit later. This is the Daily Note.
Slowing down the news.
Hello and welcome to The Daily Note. I'm James A. Brown. Thanks for joining me. You can check out my work at jamesabrown.net. That's jamesabrown.net. I was continuing a conversation that you and I have been having online about my last episode, where I shared with you some of the things that trouble me about our population. There are fewer of us. There's no ways about it. You can't talk our way around it. So I picked a handful of comments that happened on Newsbreak, that I got on TikTok, that I got on Instagram, and where have you, some emails as well. And I'm going to respond to them one by one. Georgia K said that people aren't having 10 plus kids anymore. And that's it. That's the most succinct way to say it all. Another person responded to her that Americans are being squeezed. And that's how we got there. Think about it. This downward trend started with the Great Recession. Happened not long after I graduated from college. I graduated in 2006. Great Recession starts in 2008. I graduated amidst one of the biggest housing bubbles in history. And then there was a major bailout of the banks. And my generation made a choice that was, you know, on one level logical. But, you know, there are consequences for it. And that was before we saw this inflation that followed as we bailed out the banks. And then over the next decade, we printed money to do everything. We didn't make any hard decisions as a government, as a society. Instead, what we did was just kick the can down the road. We didn't want to deal with it. And what happens to a population when you do that? A population is saddled with student debt. When you don't deal with this growing inflation. You know, I remember going to the grocery store in college. And yes, I was buying lots of junk because that's what you do when you're, you know, a 20-year-old kid. you're not, most of us aren't really thinking about our nutrition too closely. Maybe we should, but we weren't thinking that way. I remember walking around with a full grocery cart for $40, $50. Now I go to, you know, in my neck of the woods, Wegmans or Tops, and I walk out with a bag, a grocery bag, sadly a paper bag because it's required by law where I live, crazily. And for $50, we are getting maybe a quarter, a fifth of what we were able to do 15 years ago, 20 years ago. Let alone wages. You move into a white collar job, you're not making a whole lot more in these jobs than we were making 20 years ago. Even if you do move up, if you do progress, if you do acquire skills, everyone feels that squeeze. I write about it a lot in my daily column. You can find that on jamesabrown.net. That we all feel like, well, we all know something's wrong. And we can feel this sort of tug that we have to think through every little purchase. We have to budget more closely, not just because we have more responsibilities, although that is part of this, but simply because, you know, 100 grand is not 100 grand now is not 100 grand 10 years ago or 15 years ago. And we were told that, hey, if we doubled down and invested in ourselves through student debt, that we would be able to afford a middle class lifestyle. And I think what's true for me and what's true for a lot of Americans is that we can't. At least not the lifestyle we were promised. Now, it's not that, I'm not whining here, but what I am trying to do is acknowledge that this is a real problem. If you are going through your 20s, you're going through your 30s, these are your formative years where you're trying to meet a mate. That's harder as we've made that on ourselves. That's a whole other show to come. But as we go through all of this, if we feel that it's harder to get through, to pay for basic things, to afford a house, to afford a car, to, you know, filling those cars and those houses with children and car seats, I understand the logic of not wanting to do it. So that all goes back to what an anonymous person wrote me, is that people are feeling squeezed. If we're honest about it, that explains a lot of what's going on in the world today. That squeeze is shaping our behavior. It's making us make decisions that we wouldn't have otherwise. It's not the only reason, but it's a big one. We'll go into some more. This is the Daily Note Live. I'm James A. Brown. More in a moment.
Slowing down the news. Want to talk to James? Send him an email at james@thedailynote.net. This is The Daily Note.
Oh, yes. This is The Daily Note Live. I'm James A. Brown. Thanks for joining me. We continue in our discussion about what's happening with our population. It's one of these things that I am very concerned with. What's happened is that we've reached peak 18. For at least 18 years, we're not going to have as many 18-year-olds. We're going to see a downward slope in our population. And when you have fewer and fewer people entering the workforce, fewer and fewer people entering college, you get to... You're going to change. Society's going to change. There's no way around it. So I shared this with you. I spent the better part of an hour breaking this down with you. And when I got a lot of response on this one. So I wanted to walk through some of the things that you shared with me. One of my favorite usernames I've seen in recent years was Polemic. I love Polemic. I love Polemicist too. And Polemic said that I keep trying. I'm assuming trying to have a child. But my wife says she feels like she's 60 years old. I read that one a few times and I couldn't stop thinking about it. What does it feel like to be so tired that you feel decades older than you actually are? And then I started thinking a bit deeper on it. And I understood. Life is hard. It not always, but it certainly can be. You're juggling lots of responsibilities. When you're in a relationship, it's not just what's going on in your life. It's what's going on in your partner's life. You're juggling family. You're trying to have some friends. You're trying to get through things. I don't know if Polemic's family has some illnesses. I have a stressful job. There's lots of things that can add some stress on you and make you reconsider whether you have children at all. It also reminds me of another thing that's happening. And look, I'm certainly one of the culprits here. We are waiting longer than previous generations to settle down and have families. So by the time, if you are waiting till you're my age, when you're 40, or you're waiting till your 30s, you're going to have less energy. And it's going to be harder to do. Just being frank about it. And I think that habit, which is, there's lots of, you know, study on it, on why people make the decisions they do. It certainly shapes not just how we approach building our families, or if at all, but it also shapes whether our family happens at all. The stressors on us. The longer we wait, the harder it is to happen. So, Polemic, I hope you get to have a kid. I really do. I really do. Jay Davi wrote me. He said, I believe this one was on TikTok. They don't care about black people having kids. They're talking about white people. He's totally wrong. There. I think he's incredibly wrong. Look, this is cutting across just about all races. This is very little to do with any individual race. Having kids, not having kids. And if you look around the whole world, you see that it's not just white people or Asian people not having kids. It's even black people, even Africa, we're seeing some dips in population. I think we'll touch on that in a little bit more. Kwan says our government commits most of the crime, which felt off topic until I thought about it. I think that, for me, comes down to trust. And I think that it's trust in our society. It's trust in our ability to support our families. It's trust that we can hold up our end of the bargain. It's definitely a weight that I feel at times, that I won't be able to do all that I think that I will need to do to support those youngins. The system gets so heavy at times that it feels like, man, is this worth it? I also think that I also wanted to address the fact that it's not that they're entirely wrong. I mean, I did spend some time in the previous episode talking about the age crime curve and how young men commit the vast majority of crime. But Kwan has a point. I mean, look. You know, government, corruption, white-collar crime, You know, like there's certainly a lot of crime that does come out of the government. It's not everything. It's not everybody. But it is, you know, it is certainly something. I mean, we live in a world with, you know, with Jeffrey Epstein and, you know, where we're having a former president and Bill Clinton being called to account. The current president was accused of all sorts of crimes. And, you know, it seems like same thing with the Biden administration also accused of crimes. So, like, you could argue it on that level. You could certainly argue that, you know, that we've committed countless war crimes. You know, it's not entirely nuts to say that the government commits crimes. Most of the crimes, that seems like a stretch. I wouldn't go there exactly. You know? Politicians do take bribes from industries that they're supposed to regulate. You know? You know, the way we've structured our system that our politicians, you know, especially Congress members, are constantly fundraising. So when you're constantly fundraising, you're constantly attached yourself to wealthy people, wealthy donors. Most wealthy donors want something in return. They're not just handing out money because they're nice. I think what he's getting at there, at least, you know, my interpretation of it, is that there's this sense that there are two sets of rules. One for normal people, and another for people with money and power and connections. And if you're rich enough or powerful enough or well-connected enough that the rules that apply to everyone else don't really apply to you. That's the sense that I get from that statement. I might be totally wrong there, but, you know, that's what I take away from it. I understand it. I think most people get it and feel it and can't and would acknowledge that he's on to something there. And I think that there is a logic that if you're in a world where you don't trust the people who run the planet, who run the country, run our cities, our towns, our states, to operate it fairly, I can see the logic, no matter how flawed it is, that you may want to pull back. You may not want to have families. I do think that that's not a rationale that's grounded in reality. Because I don't know that there's ever going to be a time where you could be honestly looking at government of any kind and be able to purely depend on them to do the right thing. They're people. You know? They're not you. They're representing their own interests. This is the Daily Note Live. I'm James A. Brown. Back with more in a minute.
Slowing down the news. Want to talk to James? Leave him a comment on jamesabrown.net. This is the Daily Note.
This is the Daily Note Live. I'm James A. Brown. Thanks for joining me. You can check out my work at jamesabrown.net. That's jamesabrown.net. You can send me an email at james@thedailynote.net or leave me a voicemail. Use 585-371-8865. We might have you on the show. I started all this with a number that's 3.9 million. That's how many kids graduated from high school in 2025. That's the highest number ever recorded in America. And that's going to be the last time we see a number that high for at least 18 years. Probably longer. I thought I was talking about demographics and birth rates and what happens when the pipeline of young people start to shrink. I thought I was talking about numbers and trends and projections. And then I heard from the you. It's not what some of you took it as. You taught me something I should understand from the beginning. A number of people told me that we still have time compared to Korea, compared to Japan, compared to all the other countries that are dealing with the same problem. And no doubt you are correct. I'm not doubting that. You're not wrong. But having more time doesn't mean we have enough time. The canary is in the coal mine screaming. And some of you said the obvious, you know, people aren't having a ton of children anymore. We've skewed smaller for lots of reasons. We've moved into cities. Technology, the cost of having family. We've moved away from farms. You know, at one time in history, having children was about having free labor. As weird as that sounds, it's definitely part of the rationale for having big families at one point. That doesn't matter so much. And I think of my grandma. Her family was gigantic. And I believe she had something like, I want to say 13 siblings. And most of them didn't live to be older. And that's part of why we had many kids. We just didn't have, you know, the kind of healthcare we have now. A lot of the childhood illnesses that killed people, we don't worry about anymore. You know, kids, child mortality is not nearly as high as it once was. You know, kids aren't seen as your retirement plan. And there's all sorts of, you know, new reasons. You know, there's the dinks phenomenon, double income, no kids. There's lots of couples who simply can't have children. You know, if you're a gay or a lesbian person, you're probably going, if you're going to have a family at all, you're going to adopt in most cases. But the one that really stuck out to me, and I'd like to end on, is that Americans are being squeezed. That our system is pulling us every which way, crushing us. That many of us feel that we can barely support ourselves, let alone another person, even if we want to. That we have shaped a system where we don't have third places. So we don't meet randomly, not as much anymore. We've moved all our dating online into algorithms. So we're dependent on the algorithm to give us someone to build that family with. And the algorithm itself is built to sustain a company, which benefits from keeping you on the algorithm. So you not meeting somebody to stay and staying with them. All of this sets up a cocktail of just of consequences that I think we're going to be dealing with for quite a time, a long, long time. If we, and I want to leave you with this. I believe that this is the most important issue of our time. That how we figure out how to deal with all this will shape how the second half of my life goes and how the kids who are born life goes and all your family and all your friends. And I don't think we've got any answers that are good yet. We, of course, could pay people to have kids, but, you know, I wonder about that kind of person, the person who would take that check. You should want to be a parent. Not be incentivized to. Ideally. All of this is a series of massive concerns, a series of really troubling ones. I think we need to truly reconsider where we are and where we're going. Once again, I'm James A. Brown. What do you think? Let me know in three ways. You can leave me a comment on jamesabrown.net. Send me an email at james@thedailynote.net. Or leave me a voicemail or a text at 585-371-8865. We might have you on the show. Am I right? Am I wrong? Tell me. Take me away, Professor Don. On that note, I'm James A. Brown. And as always, be well.